Hello, everybody. My name is Sigflup, Sigflup Sinislavel, that is, and you are listening to Hacker Public Radio. In this exciting edition of Hacker Public Radio, we are going to be talking about the Sega Genesis. Specifically, we're going to be interviewing Kibalus about Kibalus 1, that is, about his VGM driver. So what is a VGM driver, you might be asking us? Well, a bit of background is necessary. A bit of background about the Sega Genesis, also known as the Mega Drive in European places, is necessary. While the Sega Genesis is a console that we all know and love, and inside of it there's a bunch of chips, the 68000 being the processor, the main processor in it. There's also another processor in it called the Z80, and the Z80 has mapped onto its address space a FM chip, the YM2612, and PSG, Programmable Sound Generator, and those two sound chips generate music. And so you have the two sound chips kind of attached to the Z80 in some sense, and the 68K running. And so the 68K can acquire the Z80 bus and have it mapped onto its address space in a little peculiar area, and upload a driver, as it's known, to the Z80 memory, the Z80 memory primarily being RAM, and then reset the Z80. And so you send the Z80 a program and have it run, and that program typically runs sound like, it's like a sound program. And so this is like a sound driver. And so there's a particular sound encapsulation format called VGM, for video game music being this file called a VGM file. And this is a driver for it, for the Sega Genesis. So let's get to the interview, and hope you enjoy. All right, everyone, we're here with Kibalus, and welcome.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. So, rumor has it you wrote a pretty wicked VGM driver for the Sega Genesis. How did you get into Sega Genesis programming?
Well, I don't know. I was one of the consoles I had as a kid. I always thought it was pretty cool, and I always wanted to do some kind of like retro kind of console development, and just like, hey, I'll learn to program Sega Genesis. I think I wanted to do the Sega CD. I haven't quite got there yet, but on the way, one of the things I wanted to be able to do is play music on it. So,
could you describe what VGM is for the audience?
Yes, it is a it's a spec that describes chiptunes. There's a lot of different chips that can this works with. It's not just the Sega Genesis. There's quite a number of different ones that it can use. And so that, you know, that's pretty much it. It sets up, you know, the instruments that define the songs, samples in the songs, and then, you know, the notes on and off, and changing the decay rate of stuff, or adding, you know, special effect, like some echo or other effects to the songs.
I see. And why VGM?
Well, it looked, well, really, I only started programming the Genesis about a year and a half ago or so, and I didn't really, you know. I just knew that I wanted to be able to do sound as well as graphics. So I kind of learned the basics of like the background sprites, and that seemed to be pretty well defined. But how I would get sound and music into things wasn't clear to me, and especially things that I could, like, make. Not that I make very good stuff, but, and I use, like, a strictly, like, Linux environment when I work. And so I stumbled, you know, across some, like, trackers, and, one of them was, like, DefelMask, and one of the outputs, it has this, you know, VGM format. And so that seems like, you know, the most convenient workflow I could have would be to use, you know, to, like, DefelMask, write songs, export it into VGM, and if I had a way I could load it and play it, that'd be great. And then I saw that you wrote, you wrote that little VGM driver. I mean, it was in SDCC, and it was really to the point. And I was like, once I saw that, I got it. I was like, okay, that's actually not too hard, except I wanted it to be, you know, a little more just like, cover some of the edge cases and, you know, be able to load songs wherever I want. And, so I just kind of basically took that core that you wrote and just expanded upon it.
And what is SDCC for everyone?
Small Device C Compiler. And it's you know, a cool little compiler for little chips like the Z80 and various other 8-bit chips and others.
Yeah, it's a quite nice little compiler. I really like it,
yeah,
personally.
And I never really used it till I saw those examples, and it just, you know, it seemed like they would, you know, be the perfect thing for that. And it looks like, you know, since then, you know, learned about, like, some of the optimizations you can do with the compiler, like the peephole optimizations, where I can tell the, you know, compiler, hey, don't do this, do what I tell you for this particular, way that you're creating the assembly. I think that there's still a lot to be done, with it, because I mean, what you can do with the Z80, and especially with C in something like sound playback, it's almost at the point now where I want to just rewrite the whole thing in straight assembly. And I've actually taken, like, large chunks of the of what's there, and there's a lot of inline assembly right now, and it's kind of ugly.
Yeah, I looked at the code. It's it's kind of hard to follow.
Yeah, and it started that, you know, the earlier versions, which are almost entirely just in C, were a little easier to follow, and it just kind of filled in all the different cases and did some initialization to figure out where in memory it was and to do bank switching and all that. And it comes to a point where I would time out everything, you know, but how the C would be compiled into assembly would waste a lot of cycles, and there's really not a lot to waste. There's the chip's not clocked very fast, and we want to do as much as we can, especially with PCM playback, and that's the real trick, is to be able to do PCM playback, and to hopefully do as much as you can. I'm currently limited to like 8 kilohertz, and just one sample playing at a time. And I want to see that. I think it's possible to increase that, at least to have, you know, a couple samples playing at once, or a sound effect and a sample. Really, probably more could be done with some new ideas that add some complexity to the whole process. And I don't, you know, this is, you know, probably the first Z80 assembly I've ever done, so I'm just kind of digging into it and learning.
What is the hardest thing in development?
Well, for one is there's so many files out there in VGMs, different permutations of ways that this is represented. It's trying to come up with files that I can play and to cover the edge cases, so that there's not some song that doesn't play or that is half the speed that it should be, or a sound effect that has, you know, weird noises. finding and identifying that has been tricky. I have, kind of a number of them that I tend to run through that to cover some of these cases. Because the VGM format has been around for a while, it's changed several times. And so, you know, some people will incorporate a, you know, really old VGM file and they'll want to play it on the driver, so I'd like it to work. Or they'll have a brand new one for that's using the latest spec, and you know, I'd like that to work too. And just making all those different versions kind of play would be, you know, that's been tricky.
What does your Linux setup look like?
I'm running Ubuntu 12.04 on my laptop, and it's an Asus ZenBook that I use for most of my development. And yes, why am I still in 12.04? Well, because I have everything very nicely running in 12.04 right now, and I have some other special things and things I've done to Unity to like turn off the touchpad gestures because they drive me crazy. And yeah, you know, eventually I'll upgrade, but it's been a pretty stable platform for me. That's my main, you know, development. I use Vim for my editor, and I use Screen. You know, I guess you could call that as, you know, as my IDE. So I'll usually have like terminal open, and I'll have Screen running, and I'll have, you know, Vim session with, you know, code in it. I'll have some other screens open with either, you know, I'll use like XXD and look at like the data and the VGM files, and then I'll have another screen over. I can do builds, and that's pretty much how I work.
I couldn't help but notice that I could be getting the acronym wrong here, because I look at the acronym and I always forget. But I couldn't help but notice that the VGM driver is in SGDK. I'm wondering, how did you approach, is it Steph who maintains SGDK?
Steph maintains that, and actually, it was just pulled in, so Steph just pulled it in originally. And I think I just posted on one of the forums, like, hey, this is what I have. And and before I knew it, like, it was actually in there, and I thought that was pretty cool. Just another thing about the open source projects, these, you know, little things are added to, and they become part of bigger projects, which I think is pretty neat. And then I've, you know, messaged Steph and gotten some, you know, advice of what we could do to improve it, and I've added some more. More recently, I've added sound effects support to the VGM format and sped it up significantly, and that's why there's so much inline assembly, and also made it, you know, better support older versions of the spec, and that's more recently also been pulled into the SGDK toolkit.
So, SGDK is the Sega Genesis Development Kit. This is maintained by our friend Steph, and this is a development kit for the Sega Genesis, as the name would state. I haven't really used it too much. I know you're not the expert on it, but the last time I checked, it was for DOS. Is it a Linux binary, or is it a Linux library that you can compile? Or how do you incorporate it in your development?
That's a good question. One of the first things I did was try to set up a Linux environment. There's a user, there's someone on the forums, Chili Willy, who had, you know, a bunch of steps. These are what you do to set up SGDK, or really just set up a Linux development environment, and you could also include SGDK, because you can absolutely set up a Linux or a Genesis development environment on Linux without SGDK, and lots of people do. But you have to be able to do, you know, you have to have the GCC with, you know, to be able to compile Motorola 6800. You need, you know, the right assembler, you know, and a bunch of other tools, and ready to go. So I kind of like the idea of having also like a toolkit on top of that, so I don't have to like write everything from scratch. I did a little bit of just kind of understanding how some of this stuff works in straight assembly, but I'd, you know, might as well build upon the things that other people have written when I can, and if I'm really interested, I'll dive into that particular aspect. And so there's a, so I took those steps and those scripts from Chilly Willy, and I put it together into, you know, another little, just, it's like a Google code project, and that compiles it for you. So really all you have to do is download, or you just have to, you know, check out the repo and type make to build the initial development environment, and then you go into the SGDK subdirectory, and or you type make SGDK, and you have a fully functional Linux Genesis development with SGDK ready to go. And it ported it to FreeBSD as well, so it should work there too.
That's right, cool. For everyone, that's in the show notes, and I'm probably going to close the interview here. Do you have anything else that you want to add?
Well, you know, everything I've done here, it's in large part and thanks to all the people on the Sprite Mind forum. You know, without all that information, I don't think I would have figured half of this stuff out, or it would have taken me a very long time.
Oh yeah, the people on the forums are great. Sometimes I feel embarrassed to ask questions, but I try and get past that and ask them anyway.
And I think they're all pretty, you know, pretty accepting. I think, you know, there's only been a few times when anyone's even been, I slightly rude to anyone. It's usually when it's called for. You know, they're very noob friendly. Obviously, they answered a lot of my questions, and I definitely was a noob. They've been very helpful.
Okay, and that forum link is in the show notes, everyone. If you want to learn about Sega Genesis development, that's the place to go, and talk to everyone in the community who is doing it. And thank you. And we will talk to you later.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.